Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Chronic.
Tick, 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 tick. Boom. Yes. Beautiful peeps and the Meltdown universe. Welcome to another exciting edition of the Meltdown. We are your favorite pro wrestling radio drive time duo. Yes, he is rocking it up in the AZ and looking fresh as always. And I am sitting here in literal storm season as the windows are pelting it in Manchester. But as always, I'm your Tomcat. Welcome to the show, guys. Welcome to the Meltdown. My name is Tom Finkill, and as always, I am joined by the creation of devastation. If you don't know by now, what have you been doing for the past 6 months? We tell you each and every week, he is the three-time tag team champion of the world and an all-round legend. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Wherever you are, put your hands together, unless you're driving, but you can whoop, cheer, and holler. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Brian Clark!
Thank you, Tomcat. Another awesome introduction, as usual. And ladies and gentlemen, do not get it twisted. That man that you're looking at right there is the three-time UK host of the year. That's right, the Tomcat himself. Three-time. Don't get it twisted. What a crazy week we've had, Tom. And we are going to be doing a big SmackDown review for all our Monday peeps, right?
We certainly are. So the genesis of this show is that we were going to watch shows and we were going to review them and we were going to take a little trip back. And we were going to look to the WWE Vault and the WCW channels on YouTube. And we love that concept. We've got all sorts of things bubbling behind the scenes to bring all those different shows back to you. Then we got beautifully enamored because we got bombarded with requests from different talent to appear on the Meltdown. So we've not shelved that either because we've got some big guests lined up for the forthcoming weeks. However, one of the big requests that we did get from our Meltdown universe was to touch on the current product. And one of the shows that both Brian and myself are loving right now is WWE SmackDown. So we make a feature of it. We've both taken time out of our busy schedules to watch the blue brand bloom in all its glory. And I think it is really turning a page. Whoever is writing SmackDown right now, give yourselves a beautiful little pat on the back. As this week, it was hosted from the Norfolk Scope in Virginia. And that, to me, just brings back epic memories of DX invading the Scope as part of the Monday Night War. WCW Nitro were hosting a live show as Triple H and the boys and China rocked it up in a tank. Now, taking a little look back through timelines, I believe you were on the shelf for this particular time. However, I'm sure you will have kept in the loop with what is going on. So take us back to what was going through WCW's talent's mind at that time.
Yeah, you're right, Tom. I think I was either out, injured, or there was some reason I was not at that show. But of course, I do remember it. As far as what was going through our minds, we were really like, what the hell's going on? We were really surprised by it. But looking back at it, I think Eric did the right thing. I think he handled it pretty well, considering, they had the right to come up to the show. They didn't really have the right to take it as far as they did. I think did they bang on some doors or something on the exterior, maybe?
Yeah, so there was a big shutter that comes down the ramp, which was the loading dock. And as they're coming down in the tank, the loading dock doors are going down, and ultimately that's what made it to Monday Night Raw air. Lots of talent from a WCW standpoint have had different viewpoints on it. Completely sort of echoing your sentiments, Eric did the exact right thing, as they would have done, because it would have gone out live on Nitro. So they could have used profanity. They could have taken it completely over that line, or it could have ended up in a real life fight. There were all sorts of different sort of factors that could have played into it, that could have worked on the negative. And as we always do here on the positive, on the Meltdown, we look for the positives. We don't get it twisted. Oh
That's
no, we
right.
keep it all nice and light.
And that could have went, like you said, it could have went either way with it. I think Eric did, make the right call, no doubt about it. But things were so competitive back then. But people think the AEW and WWE product are very competitive. But compared to that era, night and day, I think. I just, they really, it could have gotten heated.
Yes.
No doubt that he did the right thing. So, yeah.
And you know it gets heated if they'd have unleashed the Meng, right? Honestly, you guys
Oh,
have that
forget
secret
about
weapon in your arsenal. Send
it.
Meng a barb out, you'd be fine. You'd be great.
Yeah. Super kick, to the face. Big boot.
Big
Kick of
boot.
fear.
Kick of
Cheers.
fear. Kick of fear always goes over. We found that
Yes.
from our very own Meltdown alumnus Ray Glacier Lloyd. So talk to us a little bit about how WCW Nitro Stars looks at their own product against the WWF's Raw. Were you guys very sort of intertwined in the mix when it came to ratings and how things were being sort of transmitted across the dirt sheets? Not so much the internet then, because it was still in its infancy. But were you guys really sort of eager to find out what was happening on the other show as compared to what you guys were doing in terms of numbers on yours?
Yeah, I definitely, I know that I personally, I always watched what they were doing. And I know that guys that I talked to, later on, they were doing the same thing. It's smart business if you think about it. You've got to know what your competition is doing. And so, yeah, and of course with us back then, we would have a almost a double shot. And what I mean by that is we would go 2 hours of live on the Monday show, but then there would be a break, and then it would be a repeat again of the same show. So you are getting like a ton of airtime, at least on TBS, back to back in the same night. Just a small break, small window of maybe a 1 hour show, and then back to it again. So we would do the show. By the time, usually the hotel was very close by the arena, depending on, or at the airport, somewhere close by, we could actually get back to the hotel and actually watch the replay. And which it
That's cool.
would be on, yeah, the some of the sports bars and stuff would have it. So, a lot of times we would actually watch what just happened.
That's incredible. I mean, that there's nothing like going back and instantly revisiting the stuff that you'd done in an arena that night. So from a self-critique point of view, you can really go over it and see exactly what you guys are doing right, and the looks and the styles and the camera work, and obviously things that might need to be picked up on and built upon for next week. So that's incredible. So seeing as you were on the road constantly with WCW, and this particular night you were at the Norfolk Scope, I've been looking into a little bit of detail as it comes to the scope for SmackDown this particular week. And what was really interesting was that another member of the WCW roster is actually one of our first characters that we see on screen, as Booker T is hitting commentary with Vic Joseph this week, after we gave Michael Cole that massive pat on the back that he never has a day off. He goes and has a day off. Thanks, Michael. Honestly, massive Meltdown fan. He's seen us, he's checked it out, and he's decided he was going to have a little vacation. So Booker's on commentary, as is Vic. Memories of working alongside Booker in WCW.
Always a good time. Always, he was all.
Want to make a difference in your community, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Almost always in a very positive vibe around him, always funny, always joking around and laughing, and a great talent, good worker, really could do it all, and is still actually doing it now. I mean, he's a big star on NXT, and then they bring him in to fill in for Monday night, did a good job. I really was impressed also with Vic Joseph. I think he did a really good job. I don't really remember a whole lot about him. I'm not sure where else he works, obviously somewhere in the company, but I just don't recall a lot of his work. But I think he was really shining on Friday night.
He does a lot of stuff on NXT, but he did a lot of stuff when there was an NXT UK brand as well. So he really got to shine himself up, polish himself off a lot. And I think that the product that he's giving out is excellent. So big kudos from the Meltdown to Vic Joseph and Booker T as a team. As we start our show, that guitar riff that means only one thing echoed through the scope, and Brock Lesnar made his official announced return to the Blue Brand. Coming out straight after Brock was R-Truth. And one of the questions that I had for you, Brian, is, in your opinion, was returning Ron Killings back to the R-Truth persona the right thing to do?
I think so. And the reason I say that is because at this stage of his career, I really think his value is with the comedic part of the character. And he's so funny. I've never met him, but I'm just going by what I see and how the audience reacts to him. And I just think that that's where his money is going to be made going forward. Because like I said, he's at the very late stages of his career. But I think they could get a lot of mileage out of him still, because after all, they just re-signed him after a little brief hiatus. They got everything together and he's now re-signed. So why not use him? And this was not really a bad spot for him to be used against Brock. I think it was a blowout of a spot, if you will.
It was a blowout of something. I'm sure those size XS jeans and very blue underwear blew out beautifully. That, no doubt, at some point, they're going to end up on eBay and score someone a lot of money. But yes, humorous. Brock found it really funny, which I thought
was he sold it perfectly, actually, for him to laugh about it. I think that was the right thing to do, of course. There was a good little exchange there. I liked it, actually. I actually rewatched it this morning while I was doing some cardio work, and I just thought that, yeah, this is it's a good little fit for R-Truth, and that's his younger brother, of course, John Cena.
Ron Cena was in that house.
Ron Cena. Right? They were actually chanting Ron Cena, which, you know,
anytime you get a chant in there, you're over, right?
Anytime
you get those fans to emote. I definitely think R-Truth did an amazing job. I think his presence on screen is fantastic. And from watching that particular segment back, I felt that there was quite a lot of ad-libbing going on between Brock and Ron, which I thought was excellent. However, one of the questions that I did have for you, because I've been watching a lot of older stuff, was about Brock as a talker. Do you feel that in this stage of his career, he needs someone like Paul Heyman to be cutting promos for him and he just being that dominating force behind them? Or do you just let him run with it?
I think I'd just let him, at this stage, I would let him just run with it. Mm-hmm. I think he can do fine with it. I don't see there's, I know he can get the point across and there's no urgency of, I don't even see anyone that wouldn't want Paul to come back with him. I don't really see there anyone that would be able to step up and help him. I just don't see it. It's not like you're going to get a Cornette or somebody to come back who's gold. Would be, that would be a great matchup with those two together, but that's not going to happen. So I don't see that. I don't see anyone that could do it. And I don't see them actually putting him with somebody. I don't know.
I do think it's a real shame that we don't get more manager style roles in this business. I definitely think there is a particular place in the market for those mouthpieces who can really build up feuds, build up rivalries, put that extra shine, that sizzle on that steak, as JR used to say, to just add that little extra element to a talent that might just take them up beyond that B plus level, up to the A plus standard. Because Brock Lesnar, albeit we've just asked that question, I do feel the exact same way as you. I don't think he needs the mouthpiece right now because he is an A plus standard. He's in the same category as your John Cena, as your Roman Reigns. He's very much a special attraction. Would you keep him as a special attraction, just dominating through talent and just facing off against other A-plus characters? Or would you ever put Brock into that role where he is going to be elevating younger talents?
That one, I would keep him as, like I said, almost as an attraction. Yeah. I think he's done so much outside of WWE that people will pay extra to see him, I think. And he's that type of talent, especially, for example, WrestlePalooza coming up. Then, of course, you know, down the line, I'm sure he will be featured in WrestleMania. There are so many different ways to use him. And even if he's not going over, and if you're looking at it like he's putting other talent over, there's ways to do it to still keep him strong, and you could actually beat him and he could get his heat back. You wouldn't even remember the finish. So there's dozens of ways to use him.
And he's such a believable talent.
Oh yeah.
With him being a UFC champion and just an absolute beast, the name, the Beast Incarnate, is perfect for that particular gentleman. Yes. We are terrified of Brock Lesnar.
And R-Truth said the exact same thing. I was terrified of you. I was afraid of you. But now, you know, he's saying he's not afraid. But the initial fear was there at one time for R-Truth, you know.
The initial fear is still there with me. I remember seeing him on screen in 2002. Those traps do not give up. Wow. Well, let's ask you that question. Was there anybody from, obviously, you are a monster yourself, good sir. 6'6", absolute beast. Was there anybody within either the WWF or the WCW locker room that was a little bit intimidating, even to talent?
I'm sure there were, if a guy was having a bad day, really everybody, I mean, there were some great athletes in both companies. I mean, like you said, you mentioned Brock Lesnar, but you know, if you caught Big Show on a bad day or Ming on a bad day, which he's always super sweet. He never had a bad day, really, at least when I was around him. But there are guys that Scott Steiner would get in a bad mood occasionally. You know, it just depends. It depends on the day and what is thrown at them, whether it be travel halfway around the country or around the world, getting back, doing the show, getting all these things done each and every day. So people will have a bad day, but I can't really think of anybody offhand.
Who you wouldn't like to face down a dark alley.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, avoid it at all costs is what I say. Keep yourself healthy. Yeah, so... Yeah.
Well, everybody has bad days. And looking through the vignettes of this particular episode of SmackDown, a current superstar that I feel is in a situation right now where it feels like a bit of a bad day is Solo Sikoa. I feel like he's in a little bit of wrestling purgatory. He's in that limbo stage. He's gone from epic enforcer of the OG bloodline to the head of MFT, the new bloodline. And right now he feels like he's lost all the elements that have made Solo Solo. What do you think? Which was your particular favorite incarnation of that member of the Uso crew?
I preferred him as the enforcer of the bloodline. I agree with you. I feel like he's sort of in limbo right now. He's a little bit lost, and I don't really know what the next step for him is. I don't know how he's going to get to that next level. There's always ways to do it, but it's going to take him being booked against one of the top talent to bring him up to that next level. He's done a good job. I think his interviews and his promos have gotten better, especially from where he started and to where he is right now. But the original enforcer for the bloodline, that was his strong suit so far.
I'm not saying
he can't do it. Yeah.
I'm sure he can. He's got the talent, right?
Right.
He's got the look, right?
Yep.
And he has definitely got the lineage when it comes to being an Hawaii. So you look at that as a Fatu. You look at that and everything lines up in place. I felt that the original presentation when he came from NXT as the North American champion was perfect. He was a dominating force. Street fighter, had a mouthpiece, so he didn't need to speak. He looked, as we've just been over, a very intimidating factor on our TV screens. And I felt they built him very, very nicely in that people had to go through him and they had to go through the Usos before they got to Roman Reigns. One thing I really think that they should do with Solo is through running these vignettes of him having a bad day, he's down on his luck, is literally rebuild him from the bottom up. He needs to be completely destroying people on his way up. I feel like they need to start him bottom and build, like completely reinvent the wheel with him. But I think he's got a lot to offer. So come on, yeah. Solo, we know you can do it. Well, speaking of a lot to offer, our next feature, our next segment on this episode of SmackDown blew me away. I am loving the open challenge for the United States title. What are you thinking?
I like it. I mean, I liked it when Cena originated it back in the day. And of course, I would say jumped on the bandwagon, but I have really started enjoying Sami Zayn's work more and more in the last few weeks. He's been great all along. I was just looking at him differently. And the more I watch him, the more I appreciate his work.
Mm-hmm.
Everything he does is really solid. He doesn't have not necessarily the greatest look or the greatest physique for a top level guy, but him, what he's doing right now, his promos are always on point, really solid. I don't ever see him missing a beat on those, and his work, his selling, his finish, everything he's doing right now, I really like it.
One of the massive things that I really enjoyed about this match was the way that they didn't hit their finish. Their opponent moved, or there was a counter. There was a reversal for the finish, and nobody hit the finish until Sammy hit the Helluva kick right at the end. And that was the finish. That's the way a finishing maneuver should be, in my opinion.
And he delivers it with such force. It looks so good. I mean, every time that kick, when he extends across, and the run always helps it, because that tells you that, okay, this guy's got to really get speed up to really lay this in. And even though Ray Phoenix is a much lighter guy, but he can use that on a big guy.
Mm.
So that's the kind of finish that you want, that you can use on anyone. And with this case, I think he can use it just about anyone. It may take two of them, but he can do it.
But if he takes two of them, you hit one and then you don't go for the pin. You hit another one.
There you go. I like it.
Wrestling 101 from the Meltdown right here. Get your university funds in, courtesy of the Meltdown. Get them in the post. We'll get them. One question I did ask, wanted to ask you regarding Ray Phoenix, is in relation to his brother. So Ray's obviously now solidified his place on the blue brand, and Penta is living life on the red brand. Are you happy with the way that these guys have been booked? They've been separated initially. Is this the right decision from a WWE perspective?
I think so. I mean, you get a little more bang for the buck. They're both doing really well, and they're both getting over. So I say stick with it. Why? I wouldn't mess with it right now. I would wait. If anything, you could always put them back together later, you know?
That's the key. I think that's the key. And I heard that from an interview that I listened to regarding the Hardy Boys. And I'm sure it was Matt that was actually saying it because someone asked that question. Would you have rather redebuted at that particular WrestleMania as the Delete and the Brother Nero versions of Matt and Jeff? Or were you happy with the Team Extreme versions? And Matt was like, well, we started as the Team Extreme versions. Let's come back as that. Because we can always go to these different characters down the line. And I feel that eventually, and it may be a year, it may be 18 months, it may be longer, but the Lucha Brothers will grace the WWE screen as a team. But they're doing such a great job right now. I'm loving the work for both of them. So applause, applause to Rey Fénix and Penta. Brilliant job. Penta appearing on the AAA Worlds Collide pay-per-view as well this past weekend. Some big things going down in Mexico, including our favorite Dirty Dom becoming the AAA Mega Champion. Yes, he is living up to that Guerrero and Mysterio lineage.
I know. And then his dad had to put the strap on him. I mean, that was part of the deal, though, right? He said he would do it if that's what happened. So I'm sure deep down inside, storyline aside, he's really proud of him. You know, he's got to be. And he's turning out to be a really good worker. And
Yes.
yeah, they actually took their time with this guy because, you know, when he started out, he was the very boring baby face, so to speak, and then they finally put the heat on him, and then he had so much heat that he couldn't even grab a mic without getting booed out of an arena. So I think they actually have taken their time with him, and all the experience that he's getting from doing these international shows is definitely helping him.
1,000%. I really see him in the same way that I saw The Rock initially. Now, that's quite a big compliment
Wow.
because The Rock came in as a second, third generation superstar, the same as Dominic. And he was very much a white meat baby face to start with until it came from the crowd of Die Rocky Die and the switch came to being a heel, which is what we saw from Dom. It built and it built, and the abilities on the mic, the abilities to work a crowd with white heat was it was just palpable. The electricity was flowing through an arena every time that character appears. And I feel the exact same way with Dom. And now they have the expansion with the Triple A territory. He has really got a showcase to shine. But I think the big thing will come is when it comes full circle. And Dominic becomes a baby face once again. I think
Yes,
smash it.
I agree with that. But I think they really need to take their time and let this whole heel persona just keep marinating and just let it build and build and wait. Don't not even at WrestleMania, save it. Not unless their people are wanting it so bad that they then you've got to listen to the crowd.
Yes.
But hold it off as long as they can. Keep him heel as long as possible. I thought a few months ago for a while I was thinking they're gonna turn him. And then they held off. I'm like, good. It's too early for that. Because you don't want to bounce back and forth. That's a career killer, you know?
Too many turns, I'll do it to you. Just ask the Big Show.
Or then you're just a tweener for life, and that just you're just sort of stuck there. And then no, you're not gonna be believable for too long, you know? They're not gonna believe it. So
It's when casual fans join maybe once a month. They're checking out the product and they're just jumping on to see what's going on. And you've gone from a baby face to a heel, back to a baby face to a tweener to it screws with people's minds. Keep it as it is. Marinate that meat. Keep it in the smoker for a little bit longer. Keep going, because it means even more when you let it out. Excellent match. Loved it. Sammy and Ray really did a brilliant job in that United States Open Challenge. And as we're talking about the United States title, I feel that now is the time to throw down the gauntlet to find out one of my favorite features, one of Brian's favorite features, and one of your favorite features. It's time to play a little Mount Rushmore with the creation of devastation. So I'm going to throw it over to the bomber. Who would be your four faces on Mount Rushmore? US champions, but the WWE lineage of that particular title.
You know, on the weekends, it's always fun because I get to check my email. And every time it's always something different, but it's great. And this week is no different because the Tomcat once again sends me the Mount Rushmore. I'm always looking forward to this because there's always a different spin. And this week, are we ready for my four? And let's see if the Tomcat can match. What's your prediction, Tom? What do you got?
Okay, so I'm looking at it right now. We're just talking about the WWE lineage. So this came back in 2003, I do believe. 2003? I'm saying we have got two. I'm saying we've got two in sync together. But we're going to find out. So drum roll from here in the Meltdown Bomb Shelter UK style. Let's see what's on your list, Mr. Clark.
All right. I'm going to open up the gates and hit you with AJ Styles.
Oh, tick. Beautiful. Yes, he is phenomenal.
All right. Next up, I have MVP.
Super guess. Brilliant.
My third, The Miz.
He's an A-lister.
Oh, yes. And my fourth, got to go with the man who started it all, John Cena.
Woo, doggy. Hot dog, hot dog. Well, you know what we've just done? We've only got the big W. Oh, yes.
Come on.
Two for two. Yes.
You did it?
Now, which of those two do you think that we matched up on?
I'm going to say Cena, because he was the originator.
Correct.
And I'm going to go MVP.
One out of two. I went Cena and I went AJ Styles. Both phenomenal talents. Cena and AJ were two of mine. A third was Rusev. I thought the way that he held that belt going into WrestleMania was fantastic. Okay. The work with the tank, the work with Lana as his mouthpiece. Being a foreigner and holding the United States title just has got so many layers to it that I thought that particular emanation of a championship title reign was fantastic. So Rusev was amazing. And my fourth and final. Now, we have always got John Cena in our hearts as the originator because it's where it all started with that spinner title. However, the first champion from the titles reimagining in WWE is the person who's got us number four. And we have just been talking about his lineage. I feel like shaking it up and hitting a three amigo. Eddie Guerrero is my number four.
I did think about him earlier today when I was looking at my Mount Rush, the Rushmore, my four. Yeah, there's so many, man. There were some
good ones.
It's hard to get on our final four, but hey, still a hell of a list.
I tell you what, that is a Hall of Fame list right there. And there are so many names to choose from. Honestly, we could have gone down the lines of Bobby Lashley. We could have hit Rage, Seth Rollins, Sheamus. There was so many.
I missed a couple there. Both of those.
But these guys meant something to us. And that was what the Mount Rushmore is all about. So, yes, I applaud you. And I am taking the win. Yes, the winner's share of the purse is coming back to Manchester. Loving it. Well, as we go down the line and carry on with a little SmackDown, we had the biggest and the most controversial announcement in WWE modern history as Triple H announced that WrestleMania was going to be taking place in a country outside of the United States and Canada. WrestleMania 43 has officially been announced for Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, and the crowd, the internet wrestling community, fans all around the world are currently very much divided. Whether they're sat on the fence getting splinters in their backsides or whether or not they are shouting sell out to Triple H as he walks to any ring, into any press conference, into any office block, We want to find out what the bomber's saying about this. What's your opinion on WWE taking WrestleMania to Saudi Arabia?
It's a little bit of a surprise. I could understand Royal Rumble there. Maybe SummerSlam. But for Mania to be there, I was surprised. As we were talking earlier off air, I think that it's not going to have the same glitz and glamour as far as the view. The crowd is what makes WrestleMania, in my opinion, to see the layer upon layer of people. And I'm just not sure they're going to get that same look in Saudi. I understand it's a business. They're there to make as much money as they can. I understand completely that side of it. But I'm just thinking from a visual standpoint from the people that are at home watching. It's like watching a Super Bowl or a World Cup or something, and it's only a third of the crowd or half the crowd. I think that's going to be the biggest difference. Sure, they're going to make a ton of money off of it. No doubt about that.
But it's WrestleMania. So in my opinion, they're going to make a ton of money. Now, they're not going to make Saudi Arabia money, but they are still going to make a ton of money from this particular show. It has become a spectacle. It has become a weekend that has been built up and built up and built up for weeks and weeks and weeks. It brings so much to whichever city that has had the pleasure of hosting it each and every year. It brings so much revenue in terms of tourism, in terms of eyes on the product. It is always something to behold, and it is always the grand finale of the storylines that run throughout the course of the year, leading to a start. Being a Brit, being an Englishman, being very proud, there was the little tweet out, little message, major announcement by Triple H. And there had been rumblings for months. There had been visits along with Nick Khan to go and visit London's very own mayor. And having posted those pictures on social media, the seeds had been planted. Were we finally going to get what we had been chomping at the bit for since 1992, when Wembley Stadium hosted SummerSlam? Was WrestleMania going to be coming to the UK? Well, that rug got completely pulled from under us. And now, it's heading back to Riyadh. So for all my fellow Englishmen, my fellow Brits, whether it be England, Scotland, Northern Ireland or Wales, I shed a tear just like you. I thought, just like football never has, but I thought it was coming home. Unlucky. Maybe we'll get it next time. Let's see how well it goes. My only other feeling as well, and I wanted to ask you this as a talent that has appeared on WrestleMania, with it being such a big weekend, with it being such a spectacle, and you were at a massive one, WrestleMania 10, Madison Square Garden. From the boys' perspective, I think, and forgive me if I'm wrong for this, but this is an outsider looking in. It must also be a massive weekend for the talents that get to invite their friends and family to come and experience this culmination of a year's worth of work, to experience the grandest stage of them all, the showcase of the immortals, to be a part of something with their loved one who has been traveling the road for hundreds of days in the year to make it all worthwhile. I feel like with it now being in Saudi Arabia, that this rug has been pulled from them. What do you think?
Yeah, that's the tough part about it, Tom. For example, WrestleMania 10, I had my family there, my mom and dad, actually. And even though my match was very short at the time, it was just the whole week of the buildup there. We had fan fests. We had, so my family could come in and see what the inside of the pro wrestling world was all about. We have stayed at a grand hotel in New York City. It was just a good week, a fun experience. And they got to actually sort of see what I really do. And this may not happen now just because Saudi's such a long way away. And I'm sure they're going to have some type of fan festivals and stuff. I'm curious to see how they're going to lay that out.
It's going to take an impact, I think, on the morale of the team as well. the morale of the staff, not just as the performers, but also as the staff, the crew, the backstage producers that would still be wrapped up in that and being able to involve their families. It's one thing flying them across the US, but to fly all those people to Riyadh, it's going to be a difficult task to keep everybody happy. We'll have to keep our eye on it. We'll keep our eye, our nose to the grindstone, and see if everything goes from the red to the black as we progress closer towards WrestleMania season and in the forthcoming years as we get to 43. Well, speaking of the black, our next feature involves someone that is very high on my list of top names as it currently stands, that being Aleister Black. This segment just made me want to see this man so much more. So I've come to another segment. Just before we hit that, talk to us a little bit about Aleister Black. What are your feelings towards the man?
I like him. I like his work. His work is fantastic. He does a really great job of blending martial arts into his wrestling skills, his mat skills. He does a lot of that. I think he has really gotten better at his promos. And it seems like finally maybe that's catching up with all of the backstage production stuff that they do for him. Mm-hmm. I think now his work was always there. Now the promo is there, and it's finally coming together. And I see why you like him so much, Tom. I know you're a big fan of his work, and I am too. I enjoy him, and I think that he definitely's got a lot more. He can grow into this, and this character can be around for a while, provided they book it correctly, of course. You know,
you've got to keep booking it correctly. As we like the analogy of an onion, so many layers to Aleister Black. Presence, presentation, entrance, moveset,
look, all that.
Tick, 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 tick for me. Yeah. It is a gimmick that keeps on giving because it seems like it is an effortless gimmick for him. And speaking of gimmicks, it's hand time. Are you ready?
Here we go.
So today, as I'm looking down this list, I'm watching SmackDown. I thought we'd take a little segue to watch SmackDown. I didn't watch it in my house this week. I actually went out into the world of Manchester, and whilst my wife enjoyed a few little treats and had a few appointments, I sat in a coffee shop in Manchester with my phone and my AirPods in, and I watched SmackDown. Yes, let's raise a glass to that. And I looked at it and I was thinking, this is one hell of a gimmick right now. And who else had one hell of a gimmick? Our very own Adam Bomb. So my next game for you is Winner Stays On 90s WWF gimmicks. And I have got a massive list. So let's go. And we're going to hit it quick. We're going to hit it All quick. Right. And we're going to see who we can make smile and who we can upset on this Meltdown Monday. Ready?
I'm ready. Listen, this is always fun. The hands are ready. Hit me with the Tomcat.
We are over. It's time to play. Brian Clark, Winner Stays On, WWF 90s gimmicks. We're going to kick it off with Isaac Yankem, DDS, or the Repo Man.
Our very own Repo Man, of course.
Woo! Barry goes over. He'll be well happy. Repo Man or TL Hopper?
Repo Man. Easy.
Repo or the Berserker?
Repo.
Keep going. Repo or Skinner?
Repo Man.
Repo or the model, Rick Martel?
Oh. Quebec versus... I got a Repo Man. Come on.
Keep with Repo. Repo or the Smoking Guns?
Oh, love Billy and Bart. Got to stick with Repo.
Hey, could be going all the way.
I know, man. I didn't expect this.
It was early doors. Repo Man or Thurman Sparky Plug?
Oh, come on. Repo Man.
Hi, Bob. Repo or the Goon?
Repo Man. Come on.
Repo or Tatanka?
Oh, wow. I just talked to him this week. Tatanka's got to go over. Sorry, Barry. Tatanka.
Sorry, Barry.
Great job, my friend.
Your car's just been towed.
Oh.
Tatanka or Max Moon?
Tatanka.
Tatanka or Giant Gonzalez?
Tatanka.
Tatanka or El Matador, Tito Santana?
Tatanka.
Tatanka or Men on a Mission?
The Lumbee tribe are happy. Let's go, Tatanka.
Tatanka or Damien Demento?
Tatanka.
Tatanka or Mantar?
Tatanka.
Tatanka or Papa Shango?
Wow, that's a tough one. Man. Oh, wow. Okay, I'm switching the belts. Papa Shango.
Voodoo curse has just been put on the Native American. Papa Shango or Bastion Booger?
Papa Shango.
Papa Shango or Bertha Faye?
Papa Shango.
Papa Shango or Henry Godwin?
Oh, wow. speak of the devil. Oh, I'm going to change it up. Slop drop. Henry Godwin.
Henry Godwin or Earthquake?
Whoa, that's a, wow. Wow, you're killing me this. These are great. Henry Godwin.
Henry Godwin or Doink the Clown?
Ooh, another good one. The original Doink. I'm still going to stay with Henry.
Henry Godwin or Man Mountain Rock?
Oh, Henry.
Henry or Irwin R. Shyster?
Wow. Tax man cometh. IRS.
Sorry, Pig Farmer. IRS or Adam Bomb?
Oh, wow. I have worked him so many times. Oh, man, I've got to go. Hey, if you're not pushing yourself, why are you doing it? The creation of devastation, Adam Bomb.
One, two, three. The greatest gimmick of the 90s. I loved it.
Wow.
You know that, mate.
Man, you were digging through the archives. Great job, Tom. Holy cow. I had forgotten about half of those people. Some of those people I'm in contact with each week. But some of those, like, wow. Speak of the archives.
And it's the gimmick that's on the people, right?
So I know.
It might be someone that you talk to all the time, but then
yeah,
get revisited with that particular gimmick, and then it's like, oh.
And for example, Papa Shango, but he was also the Godfather. So you know, there's, and like Barry was half a demolition.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's crazy.
Great there was job, lots Bob. To go forward with it. We're going to create an awesome reel of that. Well done, mate. Big round of applause.
Wow.
No matter where you mark him a clap.
You put the list together. I'm just playing the game, man. Wow.
Well, you played it beautifully. Ooh. Incredible. Absolute talent right there. Well done. Speaking of talent, our next match on this particular episode of SmackDown comes from two of the most sensational women's wrestlers that the WWE are currently promoting. It was the WWE Women's Championship. As the title was on the line, champion Tiffany Stratton took on Jade Cargill. Now, Tiffany went into this match with a wonderful statistic in that she is undefeated in 2025. Now, Raph knows all about being undefeated and undefeated streaks. Talk to us about the pros and cons of holding that distinction.
Well, first I'd like to say that Tiffany's doing a great job. I've been so impressed with her work. I think Jade is still a step behind her as far as just progressing to the next level. But again, they both put on a really good match. They both work really hard. You know, Tiffany being undefeated, of course, we know that's all a work, but it still is impressive. It looks good. It sounds good. People like to see that. For example, if you go back to the Goldberg undefeated, that'll carry you so far. But after a while, you know, you're gonna have a couple losses in there somewhere down the line. But it still looks good and it sounds good, you know, for her to be undefeated. And it could run till the end of the year easily. So I like it. I like it. It is a lot of pressure. You want to have your best match every week and keep that streak going. So it's not a bad thing at all.
Keep it rolling. Keep smashing it, because each and every week, Tiffany Stratton shows us that she can do a spectacular job as WWE Women's Champion. While we're talking about Goldberg and the streak, lots of us within the internet wrestling community, and it really wasn't a thing in 1998, thought that the inevitable match would come down the line as Wrath would meet Goldberg. Undefeated streak versus undefeated streak. It was a natural fit. However, you both fell to Kevin Nash. In a certain decision, lots of fans were like, okay, that's fine. Other fans were a little up in arms about. But if we can, and we like to do this, and we like to armchair book, and we like to look at everything because hindsight is 20/20. If it hadn't have been Kevin Nash that had defeated Goldberg, who should have defeated Goldberg?
Wow. It has, you know, sooner or later, he, like I said, he's going to have to put somebody over. And Bill was always business. It was just, there were so many people at the time, but Kevin was one of them. Ming, Haku, even though he's had some wins and losses, on any given night, he could, it shows that he could beat him. Yeah, it would have to be definitely a very believable heavyweight or super heavyweight. It had to be someone believable. To knock him off. I think that if it's just someone who has not been built up properly and they beat him, it's going to hurt the whole company, not just Bill. I mean, Kevin was in that group that could have beat him. Yeah, definitely.
I completely agree. I do agree. I mean, when you look at viable competition and those that should have gone over, again, Kevin was definitely in that group, top of the pack. Do you believe that it should have ended the way that it did with a screw job finish, the taser finish with Scott Hall, or should it have been a clean finish for Goldberg's undefeated streak?
Yeah, looking back on that one, I think it could have gone either way. I think the reason they probably did that was to make it look like it took more than just the power jackknife powerbomb to beat him, to make it look like it took, you know, the stick and the powerbomb to beat him. Mm-hmm. So I can see both sides of it.
Yeah, completely.
I mean, if he was going to do the job, it would actually protect him a little bit for him to get the shot and then the powerbomb. So it took two things and some interference to actually beat him.
Makes Goldberg look stronger in the end.
In the end, it does, yes.
So that is what we like to see. I mean, like we say, it's hindsight is 2020. You can look through glasses from 2025 into 1998 and everything will be clear. The booking of Bret Hart would be completely different. The way that they handled Starrcade 1997's main event would be different. There would be so many different factors when it comes to pro wrestling. If you were to look through them with a time machine, jump in your DeLorean, head back, hit 88 miles per hour and rebook everything perfectly. But what would the fun be in that? We'd still be talking about it. We'd still be talking about it, whatever it is. Well, I'll tell you what we are going to be talking about for years to come, and that is the incredible legacy left by our main event. It was Randy Orton, our very own Legend Killer. Yes, the Viper, the Apex Predator. So many names that he's got under his belt. But he went toe-to-toe with Drew McIntyre and what they were promoting as a viable WrestleMania main event. I thought it was excellent. I thought the selling of Randy's knee, Randy's left leg was phenomenal. Just started with him jumping down after a 10 punch count in the corner. I don't know whether or not you caught this, but some of the media outlets have picked up on it this weekend about Randy being a little disgruntled about being slammed against the ropes.
Oh, no, I didn't catch that. No.
Okay, so Randy.
Mark me up, Tomcat.
Sorry, I've dropped this one on you as well, just because I've just thought of it. Randy actually was very vocal on it. In 25 years, nobody slammed me against the goddamn ropes, was exactly what he said under his breath, and he was quite visibly annoyed about it. So much so that straight after that particular spot, he rolled out of the ring and no-sold quite a few of Drew's punches. So go back and check it out.
Okay, I will. Yeah, because I missed that. Yeah. I did catch the great selling of the chop block in the back of the leg, and Randy does a great job of selling. So yeah, I got to watch that again now.
Yeah, definitely check it out. Obviously, it was only a minor thing, but it was just something that people have really, really picked up on over the weekend. And that's what they do. People do pick up on the negatives. Yeah. We try and put a positive spin on things because as everything ruled out, Randy did an incredible job for Drew leading into the Wrestlepalooza main event, which is coming up in just 2 weeks' time. It is going to be an epic show as we see Cody Rhodes, take on Drew McIntyre for the WWE World Championship. Obviously, that show is going to close out with John Cena and Brock Lesnar taking it to the max. It is going to be one hell of a show as ESPN hosts their very first WWE PLE. For those of you around the world like me, you can check it out on Netflix. Go out of your way to make sure that it is a part of your viewing in the next couple of weekends. Go forward, build up. That's what it's all about. As we rounded out the show, one of the things that was notable for me was that it only lasted an hour and 21 minutes. Fan of this?
I think the way the segments, they really flowed very well. I actually like it. I would rather have just back-to-back bangers after banger versus some downtime. I actually like the way that they cut off, for example, the Julia B-Fab match. That didn't bother me as far as cutting that. It was a hint or a taste of what they're going to be doing, but it still rolled into the next segment. So you are not slowed down just by that, even though it was a quick DQ. Those kind of things, it just makes it flow. I'm a fan of the hour 120, 121, whatever it was, end up being. I personally like it.
Me too. Yeah. I felt it was palatable, stomachable, and it made me want to watch the show because it wasn't 3 hours long. Sometimes it puts me off watching the product when I see a runtime for it just because I haven't got 3 hours.
Yeah, because there's so much other content out there, and not just counting what's on YouTube, but you know, all the PLEs that are coming up, and you're trying to, like you said, digest everything is coming at you. And you see, oh, there's a 3 hour Monday night. You just don't have the time. If you're going to record it, you're going to go right through a lot of stuff. So I like the hour 20 personally.
I completely and utterly agree. Long may it continue, WWE. Keep those shows nice and wrapped up. Because what I do feel as well is it's very much all killer, no filler. So it's banger after banger after banger segment. And that's what we need to be seeing rather than padding that is there just for padding of time's sake. Yeah. Did a brilliant job. Thought SmackDown this week was really, really good. Was it as good as AJ Lee's return? Probably not, but it was still definitely thumbs up from the Tomcat. We're giving it thumbs up, thumbs in the middle, thumbs down.
I'll give it thumbs up. I'm going to go with a yes.
Beautiful. Let's keep it all happy and smiley.
And tonight, remember, Raw is 1 hour earlier tonight, at least for me here in Arizona. I think it is around the world 1 hour earlier. You get the Cena homecoming tonight in Springfield, Mass. That should be a great reception for him. Also, there's Punk and AJ meeting with Seth and Becky tonight. Also, you've got El Grande Americano, Dragon Lee. That's going to be excellent. Penta and Kofi, a rematch. So tonight's going to be popping, as they say.
It's going to be popping. It is going to be red hot on the red brand. Make sure you check out your local listings to find out the exact time, no matter where you are around the world, for Raw tonight. Well, I want to play a little Nostradamus with our very own creation at Devastation to round out this wonderful week of the Meltdown, because seeing as we are about 6 months away from WrestleMania, I'm going to find out right now from you, Mr. Clark, exactly what you've got on the stepping stones to the Showcase of the Immortals. So I send you through this little list. It's three questions, but I'm going to see how well you do as we progress forward towards Mania season. So based upon what we have right now in terms of roster, rivalries, storylines, etc., you're going to predict the future for us. So the first step would be the Survivor Series. Who are you going to put into the War Games cage?
Wow. I don't even know where to begin on this one, Tom. So we need four.
Let's do four. Yeah, let's work on a basis of four from either side. No, albeit it's just a prediction. There's no right or wrong answer. But if you were sat in that booker's chair, you were in the executive committee meetings, and we all used to like a trip to the executive committee meetings in WCW. Can you imagine those with JJ Dillon? If that was kayfabe, love that. But yeah, who would you put in that position? Because it's an elevating tool.
Yeah, I think you got to stay on board for look at Bronson Reed. I think you got to keep pushing him. I like that. And then one of his partners in crime right now, Bron Breakker. You got to elevate, keep elevating those guys because those guys are the future, really.
Okay, so you've got Bronson and Bron,
Yep.
and I take it you're going to have their leader with them, right?
As far as Heyman on the outside
Heyman
or
on the outside, but Seth on the inside.
right. And then also, if I've got to add a fourth talent, someone who we mentioned earlier who is still has not turned or has not turned at this point, which is Dominic Mysterio.
Oh, superb.
Yeah, I
That's a
mean,
brilliant call.
just to mix it up a little, you know?
So Dominic leaves the Judgment Day and aligns himself with Seth Rollins' faction. That would be epic to see. Complete change of character that could take Dom to the next level.
Even more heat when he does, the heat that when he joins, and then the turn if he leaves that group again, all just taking a stab at it. Anything's possible if the committee gets the right idea and everybody agrees upon it. If you got too much of Michael Hayes in your ear, maybe that's a death sentence. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Everybody loves Doc Hendricks. He should have been on the
Oh. Yes, the gimmick. We'll do the gimmick announcers list. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll do that next. Okay, so we've got Bronson Reed, Bron Breakker, Seth Rollins, Dominic Mysterio. You've got
Yeah.
your heel unit. Who would be on the face side that would face them in the cage?
Oh.
You've got to start with a CM Punk, right? You've got Batman in Punk against the Joker in Rollins.
I'm just an AJ Styles fan. I want to put him in there somewhere too. I don't like that. I understand he's getting it's his career's is getting long in his career as far as long in the tooth, so to speak. But he still just looks great and delivers
Yeah.
so really well. And then you could break up a tag team or two, like a maybe one of the Street Profits, maybe
Montez.
Ford,
Yeah.
Montez Ford. Yeah, maybe him. Yeah. So there's three, and
There's
then.
three.
Yeah, who else could we add? I'm trying to
You've
think
got
of
your, you've got, I mean, if you were looking to pull people in from the blue brand, you could bring a Sami Zayn who's a massive baby
there
face
you
right
go.
now.
That's you answered it for me, Sami Zayn. I'm really starting to admire his work as the weeks go by. And I don't know what it is that popped in my brain to say, okay, really give this guy more credit than he's getting because he really has delivered. He really has. It's just gotten better and better. So.
I think that would elevate talent on both sides from a Dominic Mysterio and a Montez Ford would be taken up to the next level. You've got
Yes.
workers that can really go out of their way to put on the most incredible show with people like Bron Breakker and Sami Zayn. And then you've got your main event when it comes to a CM Punk and a Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
Awesome job, man. We'll get you a job in Stanford.
Yeah, right. Thank you on that flying. That's too much road work for me.
I took a swing at the wrong time because I
Oh, no
was
worries. Hey, I got you. But
outside.
just think about how that would just think about the match for Dominic and Sammy in that situation. That would just about carry the whole card. So yeah,
A
it's a lot of
thousand
work to go with.
Okay, so we've taken it to Survivor Series. We get to the Rumble. Who's going over in the men's and women's Rumble?
Just depends on who you want to elevate big time for Mania. Royal a Rumble winner, the guy who made a huge impression last year, I would have to go with Bron Breakker.
Brilliant. Keeping him heel or would you turn him face?
I would keep him heel at least in the Rumble. And then I would sort of really monitor what happens from January to March and really see how the crowd is responding to him because I think he's one of those guys, he could go either way. And if he were to pull away from Heyman, I think definitely would get a face pop.
1,000%. Could you
Yeah.
imagine if he goes over, first time Rumble winner, dominating force, that speed, that look, that lineage?
I mean, look at last year. He speared the guy so hard, he ripped a chunk out of his leg. You know what I'm talking about?
Sting was
Wow.
still recovering from that.
Hey, speed got killed.
That needs to be a bumper sticker, doesn't it? Speed
Yeah.
kills.
Speed kills, yes, exactly. Speed got killed, yeah.
So yes, so we'd have Brombreaker go over in the men's, women's.
Just a big fan of her work, and I think by this time, when the Royal does come around, Raquel Rodriguez, I'd love to see her get that big push.
Yes, we love Raquel.
Yeah.
Excellent. Big Mommy Cool could
big
definitely
mommy,
go over. And if not, have that sensational diesel spot just eliminated body after a body after body.
There you go. She could
brilliant.
Do it.
Yes, I definitely put her over. Right, we go to our final question, and this is how we're going to round out our show.
All right.
In 6 months at WrestleMania, back in Las Vegas, who would be your main event in the men's closeout, and who would be your main event in the women's closeout?
Well, the women's, I'm just thinking, I don't think she should lose too much steam for either one of these girls. Maybe Tiffy and Rhea, that would be a great matchup.
Yeah.
And the women's side, but there's a few other girls that could step right in that same scenario. I know they're trying to push Roxanne Perez really hard. I don't know if she's at that level yet. I'm not sure if she's ready for that, but she's doing a good job. But those two, I would go with. And then, I'm still a fan of Charlotte's work too. I know that she's in a tag team right now with Alexa, but I still like her work as a single. I think she does a great job.
And so could we see a triple threat, Tiffy, Rhea, Charlotte?
That's very possible, because a lot of times, and we talked about that before on one of, I think last week's show, where, sometimes when you get three or four people in a match, and even though it's a singles, a four-way, it's just too much. I prefer just the regular singles
one
match.
On one, yeah.
If you got to have a three-way in there, it's okay. On occasion, it's all right. But I wouldn't want to do it every Mania, every week, Change it up some, but...
Understandable storytelling is what we like. It makes it, keep it simple, stupid is the analogy. Yes, it's all about the kissing.
Yep.
I want you to use that this week, actually. KISS, keep it simple, stupid. Mm-hmm. Right, that's our women's. Men's.
Okay. Men's. Wow, another tough one. If you got Breaker winning Rumble, which I don't, it's very possible. This depends on if they want to put that rocket ship on him. So maybe Breaker, and he's got to have a big-time face opponent. Oh, that's a tough one just because I'm not very – it's everything changes so fluid from January. Even though they plan Mania a year in advance, who knows? Someone could catch a spark and get elevated really quick.
So you could go Breaker as heel.
Yeah.
To a Cody face, or you could go face to Rollins heel.
Yeah. Either one of those would work, Tom. Rollins is going to be figured in. So why not think about Rollins as the heel and having Braun coming off of that big Rumble win as a face, slowly blending, and then you would get it there. You would really get the full on face heel. Especially if he pulled away from Heyman,
Best booker in the business.
Yeah, then you got me on the fly. You caught me on a few of these, but good stuff. I mean, again, that's the good thing about this business is that it's ever changing. There's constant change on both shows, and even tonight, who knows what's going to happen? I'm thinking if Cena shows up in his hometown, Springfield, Mass, who says that the Beast is not going to show up?
Anything can happen in the WWE.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So keep on tuning in as you do each and every week to our wonderful show here at The Meltdown. Now, we're opening up the Meltdown mailbag to you guys. So please do send us your messages, your questions in for Brian. You can send them directly to our Instagram page at The Meltdown Official. Drop us a little message and see exactly what you can pry from the brain of a legend as we pose those questions to the creation of devastation. We also want you to check us out on our other social channels. So please follow him all the way around the social network world, whether it be on YouTube here at Real Brian Clark, or on Instagram at BrianClark3XChamp. You can follow me at TomFinnKill. Don't get it twisted. I am a K-I-L-L type of guy right at the end. We love that. And yes, a little bit different than Howard Finkel, We are exactly. The Thin Kill. And I feel that we have killed it on this show. We have unpacked a huge amount of content that was given to us in an hour and 21 minutes on SmackDown, and taking you guys on a beautiful journey into the future. So I'm going to pass it over to the big man to close out the show. But thank you as always, guys, for joining us for another Monday night. We will see you next week. Same Meltdown time, same Meltdown channel, right here on my favorite podcast, your favorite podcast, everybody's favorite podcast, The Meltdown. Brian, take it home.
Thank you, Tomcat. Again, thank you all for listening, lending your ear for a good hour or so as we recapped big time Friday night SmackDown. And you guys are all getting ready for Monday Night Raw tonight. Again, a big show in Springfield, Mass, homecoming for John Cena. So I'm sure that crowd will be rocking all over Mass tonight. Looking forward to it. It's going to be a good show. And again, as we said, this is so fluid each and every week. It's always changing, but that's what keeps the viewership hot and heavy. Even if they are going to Saudi for WrestleMania, hey, we're still going to be watching. So you guys have a great week. Thanks so much for joining us. By the way, big time news today. I confirmed, I'm going to surprise you with it next week, but a Lucha legend will be with us very, very soon, within the next 2 weeks. And another WWF, WWE legend also coming up in the next couple of weeks. So do not miss it. The Tomcat and the Bomber, we are out of here. You have a great week. Talk to you soon. Breaking necks and cashing checks. We will see you next week.
Oh, boom.